Bible says that the fat is the Lord's. So he has more of some of us than he does of others. Amen. The Bible said that a good report makes the bones fat. Amen. So some of us have fatter bones than others. Amen. That's me. I'm not really fat. I'm just big bone. You've heard that, right? I know all the excuses just about. I've heard nearly all of them. And I've, for the most part, cooperate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God wants us to be fat. He really does. Amen. And that's going to be our topic tonight. And so you may be seated. I'm going to be reading some verses as we get into this study here tonight. Amen. When I say God wants you to be fat, amen, that's an acronym for three particular traits that God looks upon as being necessary and essential to be a Christian. First of all, you cannot be a Christian without being faithful. God's requirement of all Christians is faithfulness. As a matter of fact, that's the highest compliment you can pay to God, is just to be faithful. And the greatest insult is to be unfaithful. That's why unfaithfulness in marriage is such a travesty, because there's so much trust involved. People have invested trust into an individual. They put their emotions and their happiness and their well-being into the hands of another people. They have entrusted someone. And when that trust is broken and shattered, it brings so much disappointment and so much pain because of the trust that was involved. When we give ourselves to Jesus Christ and He gives Himself completely to us, He trusts us and He entrusts Himself to us. God unreservedly pours out His Holy Spirit into our lives. You hear me tonight? God doesn't have two or three kinds of Holy Ghost. God doesn't have one kind of Holy Ghost for one kind of person, and another kind of Holy Ghost for another person, and another kind of Holy Ghost for another person. I've heard people say they don't have the same Holy Ghost I got. Well, if they got it, they do, because there's just one Holy Ghost. There's not one Holy Ghost for one certain group and another for another group. It's the Holy Ghost. It's all God has. He gave it all to everyone. There is no inferior Holy Ghost. Now, you may not be cooperating with the Holy Ghost. You may be walking contrary to the Spirit of God. But there's nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God demands faithfulness of us. But God not only demands faithfulness of us, but God is faithful Himself. God never asks of us what He Himself is not willing to perform first. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, the faithful God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations." Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, your God is faithful. Your God never, ever fails. He's always faithful to you and to me. Amen. Praise God. Is anybody wanting to trade here? Amen. All right. We got a battery here somewhere. We'll get charged and ready. Amen. All right. Did you find a battery, brother? Thank you. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 said, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God." Hello? "Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." So then, can suffering be the will of God? Would it be possible that it could be the will of God for somebody to suffer? Would you be willing to suffer if it were for the salvation of souls? Amen. I was 32 years old when I had an appendectomy. Now, that doesn't usually attack people that old. If you get that far along, you usually don't have appendicitis. But I found myself in the hospital having my appendix removed when I was 32 years of age. I was put into the room with the man that had been in a motorcycle accident, and he was lying there in traction. That man was hungry for God, and I witnessed to him almost an entire night. And he asked every question that was in his heart. And all I could think of, God, you let me have an appendix attack just so I could be here to talk to that man. This cost me several thousand dollars to lay here and talk to that man. Is that all right? Could that be? And would we be willing to walk down that road if it would result in the salvation of someone? What would I be willing to pay? What would you be willing to pay to see the salvation of a soul? He withheld nothing. Amen. He gave it all. He's a faithful creator. Amen. And so sometimes we will suffer according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Amen. I know people that have brought a lot upon themselves willingly. There was a sweet lady that I had the privilege to meet. Her name was at one time Sally Lemons. She became Sally Morley. She was a missionary of the greatest degree. You didn't give Sister Sally Morley gifts that she could exchange, because she would take them back and get the cash, and she'd go buy tracts and pass them out on the street corner. She didn't need a new dress. She didn't need new shoes. She didn't need anything. All she wanted to do was get the gospel out. That was Sally Morley. Amen. That was her heartbeat. That was her life. Amen. She willingly sacrificed. Yes, some would call it suffering, because she loved this gospel with all of her heart. And she withheld absolutely nothing. Amen. She gave everything she had. Amen. She gave everything she had because she loved this gospel. Amen. She was faithful even to the point of suffering. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hold fast without wavering. Amen. For he is faithful that promised. We are living in a time when there's a lot of wavering going on. When there's a lot of people that are turning to the right, to the left, and turning aside, and turning away, and turning back. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, we don't need to do any turning. The Bible said there's no turning in him. There's no shadow, no variance. Hallelujah. He's a straightforward God. He knows where he's going. He is the way. And we need to follow after him without fear, without favor, without failure. We need to follow after Jesus Christ because he is faithful. He's faithful that promised us. As a matter of fact, when we see Jesus coming on his white horse, the Bible said that he that sat upon the white horse is called faithful and true. Hallelujah. That's his name. Faithful and true. Those are the virtues of Jesus Christ. And that's how we are going to know him. The Bible said he that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Amen. I've heard people say, if God would just give me this or God would just give me that, and they're not doing very well with what they already have. They can't pay tithe on what they already get. They can't support the work of God on what they already have. Well, Brother Grissom, that's good preaching. My, you sure are doing well. Thank you, sir. You're telling it like it is. I thank you for that, sir. Amen. Praise God. Amen. How can we ask God to trust us with more when He cannot trust us with what we already have? Do we believe that? Do we believe that the tithe is the Lord's? Then why would we take it for ourselves? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I just believe that this book, that's what it says. I think that's a pretty good deal. God asked for 10%, and He lets me keep 90%. That's an awfully good trade, folks. That's a really good deal. Amen. It's all His. Everything belongs to Him. You're breathing His air. You're walking on His ground. Amen. Everything you do, it's all about Him. It's all His tonight. He's faithful to promised. God is faithful to us. And He said, oh, if you'll be faithful in a little bit, then I can give you more. But if you're unjust with what I give you, then you'll be unjust with whatever I give you. Amen. I've been in a situation a couple of times where people were involved in lawsuits because of some unjust things that happened to them, and we walked with them, prayed with them, helped them to get through all of those hard times, the great loss in their lives. Amen. And the day came, they got their big reward. Amen. And that was probably the last time I saw them. Probably the last time that I saw them. Amen. But you know, that's all right. It's not about that, folks. It's not about God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. I've heard people say, what the church needs is more millionaires. No, what the church just needs, some faithful folks. Amen. Just some faithful folks. Amen. I could care less. If He sends that's fine with me, as long as they're faithful. As long as they're faithful. It doesn't matter. Amen. I've never been anywhere that God didn't take care of His church. Amen. I've been in North America. God takes care of His church. I've been in Colombia. God takes care of His church. I've been in Costa Rica. God takes care of His church. I've been in Venezuela. God takes care of His church. I've been in Mexico. God takes care of His church. I've been in Ecuador. God takes care of His church. I've been in Panama. God takes care of His church. Everywhere that you go, God takes care of His church. Amen. Our God is faithful. And isn't it fair that God should expect faithfulness of us? Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:2 said, moreover, it is required. Everybody say required. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Because God entrusts us with His riches. Amen. Praise God. And so He ask us and demands of us faithfulness. Amen. You remember the parable of the talents in the scripture, that the master gave one man 5 talents and another man 2 talents and another man 1 talent. And he went away and he came back, and it was an accounting day. And the one that had 5 talents came, and he was so excited. He said, you gave me 5 talents. And he said, hey, he said, those 5 talents gained 5 more. Hallelujah. He was so excited because of what he had done for his master. And his master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Another man came. He only had 2 talents, but he was excited. He said, you gave me 2. Those 2 talents have gained 2 other talents. Amen. And the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Another man came. He just had 1 talent. And he said, I knew you were a hard and a dishonest man. So I just hid it. Here it is. I just dug it up and brought it back. Amen. And the master said, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew I was hard. You knew I was dishonest. See, God doesn't argue with you what you think about him. You can think whatever you want to. He won't try to change your mind. I said he won't try to change your mind. No amount of talking to you is going to change your mind if his demonstration of his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his power and his provision, if that's not enough to convince you, words won't do it. So God doesn't argue with people. Amen. He just goes ahead and just be God. That's all. Amen. That's good enough for most of us, isn't it? Amen. And so he didn't correct him. He said, that's what you think. He said, but at least you should have taken it to the bank and put it in so it at least get a little interest. Amen. Praise God. But I'm just saying tonight, God wants people to be faithful. Amen. You don't have to. I heard a man one time that started on a very difficult mission. And somebody asked him, they said, do you really think you can be successful doing this? He said, God didn't ask me to be successful. God asked me to be faithful. Success is not our goal. Faithfulness is our goal. Amen. You go ahead and be faithful and you leave success up to God. I got a feeling God's definition of success is different than people's definition of success. I got a feeling there's a lot of people that think they're very successful and God doesn't share their opinion. And then there's others that they men may not think they're doing very well, but God thinks they're doing great. Just be faithful. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you'll be faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. Hallelujah. An eternal crown. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be faithful to him. God wants us to be faithful to his church. God wants us to be faithful to one another. Amen. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Our brother Grissom, how am I faithful? Well, amen. You're faithful in spiritual things. You're faithful in prayer. You're faithful in the Word of God. You're faithful in church attendance. I've never understood people that want to go to heaven but don't like to go to church. It's always bothered me. Amen. I just don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites there. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to go to church because this or that or the other. You know what heaven's going to be? Church! It's going to be shouting and praising and worshiping and glorifying God. So if you don't like church here, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much. Maybe better than the alternative. Amen. Praise God. But faithfulness is required. Amen. Faithfulness in our finances. Faithfulness with our time. Faithfulness with our talents. Just being faithful to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, ever since God gave me the Holy Ghost when I was 15 years old, I've always had a desire to serve the Lord. I've always wanted to do something for God. Amen. If they were doing work at the church, I wanted to be there. If we had a dinner and we got through with the dinner and it was time to clean up, I wanted to help clean up. If we were barbecuing, I wanted to help barbecue. I just like to be right in the middle of what's going on. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. I hope I never lose that zeal. I hope I never lose that desire. Amen. I want to be a part of what's going on in the house of God. Amen. I don't want to get so old that I lose that. Amen. Praise God. Lord, as I get older, don't let me get colder. Amen. That's my prayer. As I get older, don't let me get colder. But help me stay red hot. Got a friend right now, he's 90 years old. And I talked to him and he tells me, he said, you know what? He said, I still like to preach. He said, I still get messages. He said, but I just don't have the strength to preach them. But he's going to a friend's church that's over close to where he lives and the boy that grew up in the church that he pastored and he was telling me the other day, he said, when the brother comes, he said he'll give it all he's got for about 10 minutes and then he'll say, that's all I got, and he'll sit down. Amen, but that's okay. If you just got 10 minutes, give him 10 minutes. If you got 5 minutes, give him 5 minutes. Whatever you got, give it all. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Amen. The next thing that we need to be, if we're going to be fat, is we got to be available. Somebody said the greatest ability is availability. You know what I've observed in the world? That the vast majority of potential is wasted. How many times have I heard somebody say, but they have so much potential. Do you know what potential is? It is stored energy. The gasoline in your car tank is potential energy. It doesn't do you any good unless you start the engine. The power that's in your battery is potential energy. It doesn't do any good unless you turn the key. The power in your flashlight battery, amen, is, and then this microphone, unless it's turned on, it doesn't do any good. It's potential energy. And unless you're using what you have, it is useless to the kingdom of God. It's useless to the kingdom. And I've met a lot of people that had a lot of talents. My, they were talented, but they used their talents in the wrong direction. Amen. I'm talking about being fat tonight. God wants you to be fat. God wants you to be available. He wants you to be available. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to do a lot. Just be available. I read one time in the Bible that what Jesus wanted to feed a crowd of people. And he turned to his disciples and he said, give them something to eat. Well, Philip grabbed his pen, yanked it out of his pocket, started figuring. He'd say, my. He'd say, it'd take a year's worth of working just to feed this bunch of people here. He was real quick to figure out how they could not do it. Now, there's a lot of Phillips. When you get ready to do something for God, you'll find out there's a lot of people that'll tell you how you can't do it. But thank God for Andrew. Andrew went out there and he just started looking. And you know what he found? He found the little boy that was available. And he brought a little boy up to Jesus. And he had a lunch. Amen. He had 5 biscuits and 2 sardines. Amen. That's all he had. But he was available. I said he was available. And his lunch was available. And everything that he had was available. And Jesus didn't say much. You know what the people said? They said, what is that among so many? But that's not what Jesus said. Amen. He just said, well, give it to me. And he took it. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he shared it. This is probably my favorite miracle in the whole Bible. I would love to have been there. When Jesus broke up those 5 biscuits and he gave less than half of a biscuit to each of his disciples. And he cut up those little fish into bite-sized pieces. And he gave those to his disciples. And here they are with a little half of a biscuit and a little sliver of fish. And he says, go feed them. Amen. And they had some Twizzlers to serve with. You know. Amen. And he pinches off a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish, and he hands it to somebody and said, now you enjoy that. And boom, it became a whopper. And then he got excited. He went over the next one. He broke off some bread and fish. Boom, it happened again. And they everywhere they were looking, boy, they were passing bread out. People were getting bread, sharing fish. And every time they'd give some away, it would grow bigger. And it would grow bigger. And it would grow bigger. And when they got through, every person was fed. And 12 baskets full were left over. You see, that's what happens when you're available. God's not depending on your ability. God is depending on your availability. And how are we going to do this? Pastor, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do our part, God's going to do His part, and we're going to get it done. Jesus was at a wedding feast. They ran out of wine. Jesus just turns around to some servants that were available. They were not necessarily smart. They were not necessarily educated. I don't know how good looking they were. I don't know how well dressed they were. I don't know how much money they had. I don't know any of those things. All I know is they were available. And Jesus told them to do something. He said, take these water pots and fill them with water. They took the water pots out, and now these were good servants. The Bible said they filled them to the brim. That's my kind of person. If you're going to do something, get with it. Abraham Lincoln said one time, he said, I like to watch a preacher preach like he's fighting bees. No stuffy pulpit for him. He said, if you're going to preach, get with it. Amen. So they filled him to the brim. And they brought him back to Jesus. And he said, you still available? Now just take out a cupful and take it to the governor of the feast. Now that's not hard to do. Anybody here can draw a cup of water. It's not difficult. Very easy. God will never ask you to do anything hard. He just asks you to do things. Now, you look ahead and you think, well, now how? He's expecting wine, this is water. But that's not your concern. That's not your concern. He told you to draw water. That's your only job right there. Just draw water. He asked you to be a witness. He didn't ask you to save anybody. He didn't ask you to fill anybody with the Holy Ghost. He didn't ask you to heal anybody. All he asked you to do was be a witness. All you got to do is tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. That's all you gotta do tonight. If you can be available, God can use you to be a partner in a miracle. That's all He's asking. Just be available. Just be available. Hallelujah. When He asks you to do something, just be available. Isaiah, after the Lord had spoken to him, amen, and he told him to go, and they needed somebody to speak. He said, Lord, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And the Lord sent an angel with some tongs and a coal of fire that he got off the altar of heaven, and he went down and he touched his lips. And then Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm available. I'm available. Send me. Send me. Amen. I asked the Lord one time, amen, Lord, please send me somewhere. Send me anywhere. I said, send me somewhere that nobody else wants to go. And He did. But you know what? He went with us. Hallelujah. And He did a work for His name's sake. And He did a work for His glory. Amen. You just do what He asks you to do. Just be available. It's amazing what God can do if He can find somebody that's available. Are you available tonight? Amen. Are you occupied? Too occupied? Too busy? Lord, I'm available. I want to be fat, God, because I want to please You. I want to be faithful, and I want to be available. I want to be available. And hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. He said, just be available. Amen. God can do the rest. He's just looking for some folks that are available. I mentioned the other night how God one time, he said, God looked for an intercessor and he could not find one. He looked for somebody that was available and he couldn't find anybody. He couldn't find one prayer warrior. And so the Bible says he had to send the judgment that he did not want to send. Amen. He had to send the judgment that he did not want to send. God's first option is always mercy. God's first option is always grace. God's first option is always salvation. But if he can't find anybody available, amen, he has no options. I want to be available, folks. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be available. Amen. At any time that you need to use us, God, just make us available. Hallelujah. God needs some folks that are just available. And then God needs some people that are teachable. God wants you to be fat. And if you're going to be fat, you got to be teachable. I don't care how long you've been in the church and how much you know, you need to be teachable. It doesn't matter what ministries you've sat under, what kind of degrees you have hanging on your wall, you need to be teachable. You need to be teachable. One of my great heroes, Brother J.T. Pugh, when he's in his 80s now, and Brother Pugh, a few years ago, I heard him preach, and he said, I've always heard that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He said, but this old dog is dying to learn. And if you go to Odessa, Texas, and you go to the university campus there, and go in the library, you'll probably find Brother Pugh over there somewhere at a table with some books, and he's digging in. He's learning. Sometimes he'll drive over to the city I pastored in, and sometimes I'd see him at the library over there studying because he had this desire to know and to be taught. Amen. But you're old. Doesn't matter. He still wanted to know and to learn and to be available and to be teachable. I've met some folks in my life that didn't get very far, but it's as far as they're ever going to go because they're not teachable. You can't tell me nothing. I already know everything I need to know. The old fella in church somewhere, he went up to the missionary after service and he said, them people over there, where are you from? He said, they talk English? The missionary said, no, they don't speak English. He said, they's ignorant, ain't they? Amen. It's all right to be a little teachable, folks. It's okay to be teachable. Amen. Somebody did Benjamin Franklin the greatest favor anybody ever did him. Benjamin Franklin was a brilliant man. When he was about 24 years of age and he was printing his books, an old timer came to him and said, Ben, you're a mighty smart young man. And he said, it's a good thing because you've learned just about as much as you're ever going to know because nobody can tell you anything. And Benjamin Franklin got the message. And he changed his attitude. And instead of becoming an authority, he became a student. And he became one of the most brilliant minds that this country has ever known. And we owe him a great debt of gratitude. Amen. Folks, we've got to be teachable. We need to be teachable. Amen. So that we can learn good things. Amen. I love to be taught. I love to learn. I love to learn. Amen. I always want to be a student. I'm not worthy to be called a scholar, but I do want to be a student. Amen. I want to keep learning. Amen. Brother Holly used to say, he said, and every man in some way is my superior in that I will learn from him. Everybody can do something that you can't do. There's somebody that can do something better than you can do, and you can learn from that person. Amen. God, help us always to be students. Help us to be teachable, because that's how we grow. I don't know how it is for you, but I know one thing. I've heard young men that were not seasoned in ministry, some that were just beginning in ministry, but God would give them some things that I had never heard in all of my life. And some people come, oh, he's just a young preacher. He don't know nothing. He hadn't been preaching long enough. He's still wet behind the ears. But if he's got a hungry heart and he wants to know God and know His Word, God will feed that young man just like He'll feed the old man. And He can give you something and feed your soul if you'll give Him the opportunity to do so. Amen. I pity people when they get to the place that they think, well, only certain preachers can feed me. I'm so learned in the gospel. Amen. Hey, need to be teachable. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you need to be teachable. How do I get the spirit of a student? Jesus said it, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples. And what disciples are? Followers, students. Yeah, that's what they are. They're people that are following somebody so that they can learn from Him. They are students that follow a master. He said, if you want to be my disciple, my follower, my students, He said, if any man will come after me or follow after me, let him deny himself. That's one of the hardest things we have to do, is to deny ourselves. Amen. Deny yourself some meals. Deny yourself some time. Amen. He said, deny himself. Deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. That's how you become teachable. Amen. And I love this from Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? You want to learn? He said, I want you to come over here and I want you to get in the yoke with me. Amen. Now, Jesus grew up in a carpenter shop. And undoubtedly, he knew something about making yokes. It's quite an art to make a yoke. A yoke has to be, if it's to be effective, it has to be well-fitting. It has to fit right. If not, it'll chafe and it'll rub blisters and make sores, and your livestock will not be able to work. But a yoke that is well fitting. Brother Hart was talking the other day about the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is what fits you like a yoke. And God knows what your size is, and He knows how to make the yoke exactly for you. And He said, you come and you learn of me. So we literally, if you've ever seen oxen in a yoke, They're pulling together. And what they would do many times is to take an older oxen and a younger oxen. And the older oxen already knew the yoke and knew what to do. The young oxen was full of vim and vigor and vitality. And he just didn't know exactly what he's supposed to do. He's all ready, man. He's ready to go, but he don't know which direction to go. Amen. He's excited, but he just don't know what to do. So he gets in there with the old oxen. Amen. And the old oxen starts pulling. And in the beginning, it's tough, because the young oxen is either surging ahead or lagging behind. Amen. That's kind of what youth is. It's full of enthusiasm.
Let me at them. And then you get at them and you find out it wasn't what you thought and you fall back.
Amen. But he's steady. Amen. And after a while, the young oxen begins to learn something. Amen. He learns how to be steady. He learns how to be faithful. He learns how to be available. He learns how to be teachable. He learns how to be fat. Amen. Jesus said, learn of me. So every morning what you do, don't go your way. But when you get out of bed, you get in the yoke with him. You don't do what you do want to do, but you get in the yoke with Jesus Christ. He said, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm right here beside you. And we're going to walk through this day together. And I'm going to teach you my ways. Amen. And when the load gets heavy and you can't pull anymore, I'll kick in and I'll pull your share and mine too. I'll do more than my share. I'll do all I need to do. Amen. You just stay in the yoke with me. And we'll learn how to do this. I'll teach you. For my yoke is easy. It's well-fitting. It doesn't chafe. Amen. That's what it means when it says it's easy. It doesn't mean it's easy. It means it's well-fitting. It fits just me. Just right. And he said, just walk with me in the yoke and we'll get this job done. I read something some years ago about the oxen. And you know, an oxen is a mighty powerful animal. And the oxen sometimes gets a load that he just can't pull. It's just too heavy. So you know what he does? He gets down on his knees. He gets down on his knees. You see, and then the power is a lot more concentrated. Instead of going from his powerful thighs all the way down to his skinny hooves, now he's on his knees and he's got that power source close to the ground. And he just gets down on all fours and he just begins to dig in with those powerful limbs. And whatever that load is, it begins to move. And he gets it going. And after he gets the momentum established, he stands up on his feet and he's able to continue the progress because now he's got it going his way. Sometimes God's going to give you some loads you're going to have to get on your knees to pull. You're not going to drift through life without getting on your knees sometimes. And sometimes it's going to hit you so hard. And you're going to hit your knees and say, God, I just can't do this. And you say, I'm right here beside you. You can do it. We're going to make it. You're not by yourself. You're down here on your knees. I'm right here with you. Let's just pray a little bit. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you some strength. Let me give you some joy. That's your strength. We're going to make it. Just start pulling. Just give it all you got. And it starts going. And you get it going. And after a while, you're back on your feet. And you're pulling what you thought was an impossible load. And something you thought you could never make it. Amen. We got to be teachable. We got to be teachable. Amen. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be available. And God wants you to be teachable. He just wants you to be fat. Amen. If you can be that, you will be a success. You will be a success. You will not fail. You will not fall. You will make it. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Amen. God help us tonight just to be faithful. That doesn't mean that I'll never make a mistake. And it doesn't mean that I'll never fail. But it means that I'll get up again. And I won't give up. And I won't give in. And I won't turn back. But I'll just come back to you again. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better next time. Help me. I just got too far ahead or I lagged too far behind. But I'm going to do better now. Help me just to be faithful. Help me just to be faithful. Amen. One of the first things the devil wants you to do when you mess up is he wants you to quit coming to church.
First thing he'll do is call you a hypocrite. And he'll say, you don't belong over there with those good people. Look at you. Look what you've done. Look what you said. Look at your life. Look how you messed up. You might as well quit. You might as well give in. You might as well give up. You're not good like those other folks. Amen. Anybody ever heard that? Amen. That's old Slewfoot. That's his lie. But Jesus says, that's all right. That was just one battle. That's not the war. Amen. Let's get up. We're going to make it. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 He needs somebody to be available today. Somebody that's close enough to hear his voice and just simply do what he said. It might be as simple as filling a water pot or drawing a cup of water or sharing a lunch. Amen. That's all he needs. Junior Marquez went down to McDonald's before service. Junior was a big boy. So he ordered two burgers, two orders of fries, and two large drinks. He's a big boy. In the meantime, he saw a little old fella sitting over there, looked like he hadn't eaten in a while. And he went over and he started talking to him. The man was coming from Mexico, making his way up to Chicago. He was hungry. And Junior was moved, and so he gave him one of his hamburgers, some of his French fries, one of his drinks. But while he was sharing McDonald's, he was also sharing Jesus. And he brought that man to church with him that Sunday morning. He didn't understand English. He only spoke Spanish. But we had a translator, Junior's father, and he spoke Spanish, and he was able to communicate with that man. When that service was over, that man came, he brought him up. He said he wants to be baptized. We baptized him in Jesus' name that Sunday morning. And he came up out of the water talking in tongues. Amen. He, all you need, just somebody at McDonald's sharing a Big Mac and Jesus. That's all he did. That's all he did. That's all he did. Amen. I was part of an evangelistic group several years ago in Mexico, and they were some of the greatest musicians and singers, one of the greatest attitudes I've ever witnessed. Amen. But you know how that group started? Little old 12-year-old boy was selling hot tamales. That's like peanut brittle in Mexico, you know. He was selling hot tamales to get his dad's church going. And he sold the hot tamales to these people at a circus. And he said, you need to come here. My daddy's the greatest preacher in the world. And those people from the circus said, I think we'll come. Yes. So that morning, some of them came. Yeah. And some of them got the Holy Ghost. And they went back that night and they got some more. And they came and they got the Holy Ghost. Even the last time I knew, and I don't remember the number, but it was over 200 of that one family that had received the Holy Ghost from a 12-year-old boy selling hot tamales and Jesus.
All right.
Yeah, you can do it. You know how many it'll take to fill up this church? Just one. That's all it'll take. There's somebody in this city right now that's hungry for God. And if one of you or myself could just reach that person, that one person could fill up this entire church. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Just one. Just one. Amen. Are you available? I know you're teachable. I appreciate you being here service after service. I appreciate you listening and thank you for your kind words. I know you're teachable. Amen. Just God help us. God help us. You want us to be fat. And we want to be. Amen. Praise God. I think it'd be good just to respond to this message tonight. Just to come stand before the Lord here. Raise your hands one more time. Say, Jesus, I want to jump in that yoke with you. I want to jump in that yoke with you. I want to learn of you. God, I'm sorry. Sometimes my attitude's not right. Sometimes my spirit gets ugly. God, I say unkind things sometimes. I hurt people with my words. I'm sorry. I act out of the wrong motive sometimes. Sometimes I just don't do the right thing. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. You said your faithfulness will endure for 1,000 generations for those that love you. Keep your commandments.